This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture. I'm Sumitra Selvaraj, and joining me in the studio today are Tisha Ik and Juliet Jacobs. As always, we have two stories for you. The first one is the fact that the newly crowned Miss Universe and Miss World are advocates of using beauty to effect change, world peace and all of that. So what we're asking you is, do we really need pageants to promote purpose? To kick off our first story, here are a couple of wise words. Tonight a door was opened and I could not be more grateful to have been the one to have walked through it. May every little girl who witnessed this moment forever believe in the power of her dreams, and may they see their faces reflected in mine, wrote Zozibini Tunzi in an Instagram post just after just being crowned Miss Universe 2019. And the newly crowned Miss World 2019, Tony Ann Singh, also kept to the dream theme by writing to that little girl in St. Thomas, Jamaica, and all the girls around the world, please believe in yourself. Please know that you are worthy and capable of achieving your dreams. This crown is not mine, but yours. It's for you to truly understand that no matter where you are or where you are from, all the cards that you're dealt in life, your dreams are valid. You have a purpose.
As it happens, beauty with a purpose is the tagline of the Miss World pageant, which is the world's oldest running beauty contest. It was originally a bikini contest to promote, well, the bikini. And the first ever winner of the contest was actually crowned wearing the two-piece bathing suit, which in 1951 had just arrived on the scene to terrorize beachgoers. Yes. And in fact, it was such a scandalous outfit that the first Miss World, Sweden's Kiki Håkansson, earned a reproach from the Pope himself. And the bikini was then promptly banned from the contest, as it was also outlawed in many countries around the world.
You know, but that outrage did not last long, because soon one of the most iconic aspects about beauty pageants, well, for some anyway, became the parading of women in these bikinis. In fact, when the Miss World bikini round was cancelled 1 year because of the backlash from religious authorities in the host country, the rival Miss Universe pageant franchise holder gleefully remarked, "So I'm actually very happy about it, because if Miss World doesn't have bikinis, their ratings go right down the tubes," quote unquote. And that franchise holder, by the way, is now the president of the United States of America.
That's right. Trump owns the Miss Universe franchise.
Owned. And not anymore. Yes.
So, and it's only, I guess, because he had to become a president. What do bathing suits have to do with purpose, like what mentioned earlier, Sumitra? On one hand, yes, you could argue a woman has the right to wear anything she wants, and wearing a bikini is a sign of empowerment. Furthermore, wearing a bikini on stage is the ultimate statement of self-confidence, more so if you are then adjudged to be the best at wearing a bikini. But on the other hand, those who speak out against women having to wear skimpy outfits as part of the pageant insist that these are objectifying women. And it's a hard argument to counter when the goal of these pageants is to emerge most physically attractive amongst your competition.
You know, of course, defenders of beauty pageants will say that it's not about the swimwear. Annual times are changing because the bikini round has now been replaced by the more inclusive swimsuit round. And in the case of Miss Teen USA, swimwear has actually been replaced by athletic wear. So the refrain is that it's not so much about how the contestants look, but the values that they embody. The swimwear is just a small part of the contest and is meant to promote a healthy body image. But is it all that healthy when every other woman who is up on stage with you has a similar body type?
A very similar body type, right? And news and social media sites are celebrating the fact that all five of the major beauty pageants this year have been won by people of colour. Miss Universe 2019 has been praised for winning the crown in her natural hair. And this means that she's the first to don the crown without wearing a wig or a weave, which of course is not an uncommon thing for women who have afro-textured hair. But is this really meant to be an empowered portrayal of diversity? To say that women with different skin textures, skin tones, flawless skin tones, I might add, and hair textures can be considered beautiful, and that the world should celebrate this by acknowledging
that
beauty.
Why do you need that kind of acknowledgement in the first place?
Because I'm still going to come back to what you said, Juliet. They are all still the same body shape, right? And that they are being judged on physical attractiveness. Well, perhaps not all pageants. Earlier today, I spoke to Shankari Natarajan, who participated in a couple of major pageants in Malaysia about a decade ago. Shankari is a producer and a host, so she actually had a compelling reason to join her first major pageant, which was the Dewi Remaja in 2010.
Dewi Remaja is very much, they are very clear. They say that, you know, this is a platform to incubate talent. Sometimes they promote, you know, culture and heritage through the pageants. They teach you how to act. They train you in hosting. They train you in public speaking. So they are very clear about their aim, which is to grow fresh talent and then put them into the local media scene. But these other pageants are not that way. So in the face of change, in the face of representing people, a community or younger girls, these women do things that really don't align with what they see. Mm. Which is also something that I was doing to me, but because I didn't know any better. That is kind of the template that you're given. It's somehow you have to look a certain way, you have to be a certain way, and you have to speak for world peace, which makes no sense at all. And so, like you say, every year, as we churn out more pageant winners, they usually have an interview right after their crowning, and it's the most ambitious interview. They'll be like, I want to work with kids with abuse victims. I want to change, life for children and all of these very ambitious plans. But it almost never happens. Mm-hmm. The one person who has actually stuck to her words and actually did something to change is Deborah Henry. When she started this school called the Fuji School, and it's still running till today because she was very passionate about it during the refugee in Malaysia. She was passionate about it when she was crowned Miss World, when she was after that crowned Miss Universe. She was very passionate about it, and she actually followed through with actions.
I also asked Shankari if she has seen a change in how participants are represented when it comes to body diversity.
There always is. There always is. And I can say that for Malaysia, internationally, things are changing a lot. About 3 years ago, Miss Canada was, I think she was a size 8 or a size 10, and she was celebrated. And Canada was okay with her representing them in that size. But in Malaysia, it's a huge no-no.
And finally, I asked Shankari whether, if she could turn back the clock, she would go through the beauty pageant experience all over again.
You know, for me, somehow, oddly enough, joining it is what that has taught me everything that I didn't want to be. Does that make any sense?
It makes complete sense.
When I was there and the pressure that I was put in, and you're almost in this little cocoon where you're told that you have to be a certain way, you have to fit a certain mold, and you don't know any better. Like it's a tunnel vision. Like that's the only thing you want to achieve, and you would do anything and everything to attain that title, that position. And if I had not been there, and if I had not had that tunnel vision and pressure, and then to come out of it and be liberated and understand that, you know what, this is completely ridiculous. Like, I don't think I would have learned that lesson if I hadn't gone through that.
So that was producer and host Shankari Natarajan sharing her experience with participating in beauty pageants here in Malaysia. So, you know, I've been reading the kind of statements that these women have been sharing mm-hmm. post their international wins, and it's just really got me thinking about this whole idea of we're coming up to 2020. Why are we still celebrating beauty on a stage? Mm-hmm. Can there ever be merit to pageants like this?
You also have to think about we who have a different view may feel that there should be more to a person's worth, right? But looking at the ratings and if I'm not mistaken, they still garner pretty high ratings, these televised pageants. What does it say about what people want to see of women as well?
As entertainment.
As entertainment, mm-hmm. as fodder for your things to mock, perhaps, as well, you know, to see who's doing well, who's not doing well, to laugh at other countries, costumes, who knows what it is, right? Mm-hmm. So many different levels. I remember sitting with a bunch of, they were boys, this was in university, and they were watching it to criticize. You know, so it was to point out flaws. And these are like practically flawless women, right?
Yes.
But looking for flaws in these flawless women. And that was like a sport for them as well.
I hadn't thought of that. Yeah.
You know, so it was really quite, it's bewildering to me. I've never liked beauty pageants. I was forced to participate in them when I was a child.
Wow.
A child. Very long time ago.
As our podcast photo by any chance.
No, it's all been burnt. But
that's worse, isn't
it?
Children's beauty pageants. Because then you're really putting those false ideals into children's minds from that age.
Because the objectification of women is bad, but the objectification of the girl child?
Yeah. And that happened a lot in school. And this was in our Kabangsaan schools. You know, they would have these beauty pageants and people would, you'd be expected to enter and, different. Of course, there's no swimwear, but still.
Yeah. Okay. And so on that note, you know, you could then say that times have changed. People are more aware. People have more agency. People are more empowered. But then why is there still an appeal to beauty pageants is the question that I can't wrap my head around. I understand it perhaps if it is merit driven and if the prize at the end is a scholarship. I think the Miss Malaysia Indian Global Pageant that happens here in Malaysia is an example of that, that the prize is a scholarship for education.
So for me, why do you have to make them parade around to win the scholarship? Mm-hmm. Why do you have to put their beauty on as a pageant,
display.
Right, on display for them to receive a scholarship. Surely there are better ways than making them, you know, do that.
Even if they are the focus of the so-called pageant is on their leadership qualities or their abilities to do community work and all that. Putting all that aside, you are already selecting a pool of participants based on physical attractiveness, qualities of physical attractiveness. And so it's as if the baseline is that you have to meet that criteria of so-called beauty first.
Exactly.
But do all pageants do that, though? I know the bigger pageants make it very clear. In fact, you know, in some of the biggest pageants, you can't even be a mother or be in a relationship in order to enter them. And they're very, very clear about what I feel is a very discriminatory rule. How can you say that a woman is not qualified to join your pageant for whatever reasons that she wants just because she's birthed a child?
But then again,
it boggles the mind.
If the pageant didn't intend to highlight physical qualities, it wouldn't be a pageant in the first place. They wouldn't call it that. They wouldn't feel the need to have the women put on certain kinds of outfits and makeup and, you know, do the photo shoots and all of that. It would be a leadership program.
So how do you do that then? How
Which
do you...
then doesn't get you ratings,
and
does
sponsorships.
It?
Yeah, exactly. So,
but then how do you do that? How do you move the conversation away from celebrating beauty to celebrating accomplishment? Because it's easy enough for a pageant winner to stand on a stage and say, look at me, and I want you to be reflected in my achievement, which is standing on stage and winning a beauty contest, as opposed to standing on a stage and saying, look at me, I am a Nobel Prize winner, I want me to be reflected in you. That's different to me. But frustrating. No. I'm sorry.
There is no clear answer. I mean, there's no simple answer. Is there? It's the media industry as well, which takes pageant winners and puts them in the spotlight and continues to reinforce that idea that they are more special because are the winner of a pageant. They deserve to be the anchor of a show because she was a pageant winner. You know, it's all feeding and continuing to feed that cycle.
Mm. Anyway, I shall go and stew over a little bit of a break. And that's all the time we have for this ranty little story that I managed to wrap up. But we'll leave you now with the rather aptly titled Beautifully Unconventional by Wolf Alice. And we'll be back in a short bit.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.